Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, Mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law.
Got miles to go before we sleep.
Lawman is putting an end to my running, and I'm so far from my
home. We will not go gently. We're going to unleash hell here in December.
Oh, Mama, I can hear you a-crying. You're so scared and all alone.
Hey, somebody fix this guy's buckle.
Hey,
so he can play football.
Coming down from the gallows, and I don't have very long.
We
Le'Veon Bell, or is it the entire 90-man roster currently for the Pittsburgh Steelers? Welcome once again to Pittsburgh Steelers six-pack of fact or fiction. My name is Brian Anthony Davis, along with Zach Arn. Welcome, and we are ready to go. 22 days from tonight, the Pittsburgh Steelers travel to our nation's capital and take on the Washington Redskins. What started out as a very quiet offseason is now become a hectic and tumultuous preseason. What's going to happen once the season opens? Only time will tell, but Zach and I can definitely speculate, and that is definitely what we do here on the Six Pack of Fact or Fiction. Zachary Parnes, good evening, and welcome back to the East Coast, my friend.
Brian, you know, I'm missing that L.A. weather. It's hurting me right now. It rained for like 3 hours straight. I didn't think I saw a single cloud when I was in L.A.
Well, as the 1960 classic says, California dreaming, I think you should start again and join the mamas and the papas on that one, my friend.
Listen, man, I actually do know that song because it's one of my dad's favorite songs. Otherwise, that reference would have gone completely over my 20 years. I'll tell you that right now.
Okay, you know what's really sad is the daughters of the Mamas and the Papas, John Phillips. They were before your time, Wilson Phillips. So I was in college when they came out. So that means that's what kind of young bucks you actually are.
Man, you're saying names right now, and they could be, you know, former Steelers for all I know.
Wilson Phillips was not a sixth-round pick in 1990 of the Steelers. It was actually one of the hottest female trios of the early 90s with a number one song such as Hold On and Release Me. If you have a chance, iTune them. They're for a female group, they are actually harmonious and amazing.
Hey, well, what's to say that a female group can't be? You know what? Here, I'll throw something at you way back, way, way back. This is even before your time here, Brian. How about the lovely Cordettes? I mean, I know that song. Everybody knows Mr. Sandman. Come on now.
Mr. Sandman, the Cordettes. All right.
Bring me a dream.
I see your Cordettes, and I raise you the Dixie Cups of Chapel of Love. And Vogue they were not. But anyways, I digress. Zach, so much going on with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Like I said in the opener, wow, it was so quiet in the preseason. And now, as July and August, we've just got things happening like crazy. I don't know what's going on. The state of the union of the state of the Pittsburgh Steelers is definitely in flux. There's so much to talk about. How about we rip open the fact or fiction after we talk about our sponsors?
Absolutely here, Brian. We got to mention our sponsors. And, of course, the show is sponsored by Frank Walker Law. the top criminal defense firm to call in Western Pennsylvania and West Virginia, and home to one of the nation's top 100 ranked trial attorneys in Frank Walker. For his Pennsylvania office, call 412-212-3878, or to reach his West Virginia office, call 304-712-2089. You should also check out his website, frankwalkerlaw.com, to see how he can help you in your time of need. Frank Walker Law, real talk, real experience, real results. The show is also sponsored by Centerfield Smoke, the best and most unique Pittsburgh sports apparel provider for Steeler fans everywhere. Visit them at centerfieldsmoke.com. Brian, let's get us going here, man. Question number one. I'm ready. Let's rip it open. Let's start drinking.
Here we go. You know, with this offseason, I'm ready to start drinking. So here we are, the first can of the six-pack. The Steelers' insistence on not bringing in a veteran quarterback to challenge the ghost of Aaron Rodgers, one Landry Jones, actually the second coming of Aaron Rodgers, Landry Jones, will come back to haunt them in 2016.
Man, we're going to stick with that forever, aren't we? I'm never going to be able to live that down.
By the way, on December 25th, you might have a number 3 jersey coming underneath your tree, courtesy of me and BTSC.
If I walk around with a Landry Jones jersey, that might be the most obscure sporting jersey I've ever bought in my entire life. I like the back corner guys.
I actually own a Richard Huntley.
Oh my God, that might take the cake. Let's be honest. But let's get us going here, Brian. I'm just going to say straight off the bat, listen, I want to believe in Landry Jones, but you can't be throwing 4 interceptions in the first half. Listen, 2 of them aren't really his fault. They're kind of, you know, sluggish plays on the wide receiver part. But you had Sammy Coates bailing him out for a lot of the night. Coates had some fantastic grabs, which, by the way, like, that should go into what we've been saying about Coates and the type of player that he is, because he really showed himself to be a dominant wide receiver in the preseason, catching these shifty passes. I have to go with fact, just because you can't be doing it in a preseason game. And listen, I think this is a later question in our six-pack also, but you also can't be getting shut out in the preseason. It's just a terrible testament to what kind of offensive production your secondary line is capable of bringing in. I want to talk about some of the names on this unrestricted free agent list right now. You got guys like Mike Vick, who's a former Steeler, obviously, last year. You got guys further down the line like T.J. Yates and Tavaris Jackson, who I like a lot. I think Tavaris Jackson has been a veteran guy who's seen a lot of time and can still run an offense pretty well in the NFL. Listen, he took Minnesota to the playoffs. We got to remember that. Not very long ago, this was a guy who carried them to a 9-7 record and got them into the wild card. I really, really, really would love to see them go after a veteran quarterback. Is it going to happen, Brian? Probably not. Let's be real. This is the Pittsburgh Steelers we're talking about. We like to build guys based on who we draft and who we're able to acquire when they're young. Every single one of these free agent quarterbacks right now, there's not a single one of them that isn't signed who is under the age of 32. I mean, we're going to be looking at guys across the board who are going to be a little bit older. I mean, that's just going to how it's going to be. You know, and now we've got ourselves a situation where, you know, you're now looking at your potential backup having one of the worst games of his entire career against the Detroit Lions secondary that was pretty average last year in the league. I think there's a lot of cause for concern. I hope they go out and get a veteran guy. Don't think they will. Brian, what about you, man? What do you think?
I am going to agree with you. I am definitely going to see back. It's going to come back to haunt them if something happens to Ben Roethlisberger. Look, here's the deal. One game, Landry Jones came in the second half and played well enough to have them win. That was against Arizona in week 6 when Mike Vick went down. However, the man who really won that game for the Pittsburgh Steelers was Martavis Bryant. It was a slant pass that Bryant probably ran a country mile on. He did throw a very nice touchdown reception to Bryant towards the end of that game to clinch the win, but the defense bailed Landry Jones out of that game, bailed the team out of that game, and so did Martavis Bryant. He just happened to be the guy taking snaps from center at that time. The next time he had a chance to go out and play was the very next week against, at that time, a Kansas City team with a losing record, and he was just awful. The next couple times I saw him play, wasn't that good either. In fact, he was the reason Ben Roethlisberger came back so early against Cleveland to come back in November, to come back and play. He was also the reason Ben Roethlisberger came back in the playoffs against Cincinnati with barely an arm. I mean, he didn't have a shoulder to throw. It was just a miracle that he was able to even put on pads and go back in that game. That's how bad Landry Jones was. I think he's a nice guy. I think he's a good kid. But as the future for a franchise that has playoff aspirations this year and one heartbeat, one injury away from the starting job, you know, that's scary. You do have guys out there that you mentioned, and there's a few that you did not mention. What about Jimmy Clausen? Jimmy Clausen's the guy that came into the Baltimore Ravens.
Oh, don't give me that.
Wait.
Oh, my goodness.
No, wait,
oh,
wait,
my goodness.
Wait.
Come on, Brian.
Okay, wait a second. Who beat the Pittsburgh Steelers in Week 16, barely being on the team for, like, maybe a week and a half, and beat a playoff team in Baltimore? And did not look that bad. He looked like a world beater that kid. I was in the stand. I was like, how are we losing to Jimmy Clausen? But hey, the guy's better than Landry Jones at this point. You have Flynn out there. You have Josh Freeman out there. There are guys out there that are hungry. That, I mean, a few of these guys are still under 30. They can come in and play one winning game from Landry Jones in 4 years is not enough to keep him. And the fact that they just insist, they're like, we don't want to admit that we made a mistake getting this guy, so we have to keep putting him back in, that to me is a problem that can cost you down the line. You can't do that.
Listen, first off, I want to say Josh Freeman, legitimate name, okay? I like him. The guy, you know, has great pocket presence, has a strong arm, and can get the job done. Jimmy Clausen, Brian, oh my goodness. You want to talk about how I'm going to compare? You want him to be the backup? Dude, I don't want him anywhere near my work. I want to talk a little bit about that Ravens game, because that Ravens game, there's a lot of misconceptions here, okay? Clausen, okay, was picked up by Baltimore, you know, in late probably late middle of the season, 2015, right? Like November-ish. So he starts against the Seahawks.
It was December.
He was
picked up in early December, Zach.
Yeah, but I will tell – but here's the thing. He didn't make his first start until he goes up against the Seahawks there. He, you know, throws for a bunch of yards, no TDs in that one, okay? Yada, yada. Okay, then he gets benched, okay, that following week against the Ravens, okay? We need to remember that this was a guy who was so bad, he had to have Ryan Mallett take over, okay? And Mallett was the one who really carries the torch there for the Ravens to end up getting that win over the Steelers. I don't want him anywhere near the lineup. I think we can both agree that Landry Jones definitely needs another guy to be like a filler spot pretty much. But right now, like, oh, man, I don't know about Jimmy Clausen. That's a little too much for me. I don't think I can do that. Maybe I'll ship you a Jimmy Clausen Ravens jersey.
I'll give you Jimmy Clausen, but we're talking about Matt Flynn, who has done it in the past. When a guy like, I mean, not too long ago, the guy threw 6 touchdowns in a game instead of that of Aaron Rodgers. I mean, the guy is 31 years old. He can come in and play and back them up right now. I mean, it would be the equivalent to what we have on Bruce Gradkowski anyway. I mean, there's a guy right there. Josh Freeman is 28 years old. I know he's a journeyman right now, but the guy is a big guy that can throw the ball and actually throw the ball well in the right scheme. And I think that could be possibly Pittsburgh, too. I mean, that's got to be better than what you have right now in Landry Jones.
Listen, I'll agree with that. God, I can't believe – I still can't believe you picked Jimmy Clausen of all guys, man. Come on.
Oh,
that's like
one of the guys – I also mentioned other guys, Zach.
Fair enough.
I told you I thought Josh Freeman was a legitimate option.
Josh Freeman, I'll tell you this, is a legitimate option. I think that he has had, you know, a good number of, you know, of a good amount of time to really develop his craft. I like him mainly because I got the experience to meet the guy a couple of years ago, and he's really been fantastic. That's correct. He and I traded a few throws at the combine. Man, guy throws hard. I'll tell you that. He put some picture perfect passes in there as well, which was really great.
He had a good receiver to make him look better, of course.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you that. I'm no Mike Evans or somebody of the sort. But listen, his years in Tampa, you know, he really proved that this guy can legitimately play quarterback. You know, there was a year in 2010 where people were like, wow, we really got to watch out for this guy because he had 25 touchdowns and only a handful of picks to go with it. You know, the next year he had more interceptions than touchdowns, and then 2012 he had more touchdowns than picks, and now he's been bounced around from, you know, Minnesota to Indianapolis and whatnot. I mean, this is a guy who, you know, he's a bit confused with where he is right now. I really like him. I don't know why teams don't want to take the chance on him. I just think that there's a big question about, you know, maybe his ability to, you know, kind of retransition into the NFL game, seeing as he has played, obviously I haven't really watched any of this, but he has played in the Fall Experimental Football League, which honestly is pretty small. I can't name you a single team except for the Brooklyn Bolts, and that's because they're the only good team. They're the only ones that ever finish in first, and they're really good. But, you know, otherwise, you know, this is a guy who's been out of consistent NFL reps for a while, which is why I think I have a little bit of worry about him. But I think he's a legitimate threat, and I think he could come in and really prove something right. But let's be honest, the Steelers, they got to get themselves a veteran quarterback to step in there.
Well, let's go back in the time machine. I'll give you a guy who did not have a lot of NFL reps for a long time. In fact, he was selling insurance in Dallas, Texas. His name was Tommy Maddox. I think he did okay for the Pittsburgh Steelers when he came in and had to play.
Yeah, well, you know what his best career move was tearing his shoulder labrum so that Ben Roethlisberger could step in.
Yeah, I mean, that's
I will never wish injury on a guy in my entire life. But I'll tell you what, if there's one injury I'm thankful for, it's Tommy Maddox's.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give you that one. That was some pretty good on-the-job training in 2004. I agree with you in what we're saying. I know we got a little off track when I brought up a guy like Jimmy Clausen, but it is another name in there. The bottom line to the entire conversation that we just had is the fact that we agree that the Steelers need an upgrade at that number two quarterback position, and it will come back to haunt them if something happens to Ben Roethlisberger, because it does not seem after a four-pick performance that Landry Jones is going to be able to carry the load in crunch time for the Steelers and lead them into the playoffs. So with that being said, let's go on to number two. The NFL's reduction of a game off of Le'Veon Bell's suspension without advancing him in the NFL substance abuse program is definitely an indicator that the Steeler running back's infractions were minor. Fact or fiction, Zach?
I go with fact on this one, and I'm going to argue it from a cultural standpoint. I don't even think it's a player thing anymore. I think it's the league taking a look at how they're enforcing these drug testings. Listen, if Le'Veon Bell is going to fail a drug test, what is it going to be for? I'll tell you what it's for. It's not going to be for cocaine. It's not going to be for MDMA. It's not going to be for anything crazy or PEDs, nothing like that. It is going to be for marijuana. This is an entire cultural shift that the NFL is starting to undertake. It's the same thing that the NBA and the NHL are going to have to come to grips with very soon, as well as other major organizations like Major League Baseball, the UFC, NASCAR, a bunch of other things. You know, these people – you know, running these leagues are starting to realize that marijuana sort of offenses are not to be as taken seriously as, you know, some of these other things that are happening. You know, PEDs are a completely different story, and I don't think anyone out there is accusing Le'Veon Bell of using PEDs. But I definitely think the league knows that he's using marijuana. And, you know, taking a game away from this, I think, is a total statement for the league. It's showing them that this drug policy, once you, you know, you get through on your PED tests and whatnot, that's one thing. But when you get past this individualized drug test screening, it is proving that the league is now willing to adapt culturally to how marijuana is going to be used within the organization. And I'm not saying they did it specifically for that reason. I'm just saying that this wouldn't have happened 5 years ago. He would have been serving the four games. My final fact of the night just a few weeks ago was simply that. I said Le'Veon Bell will serve all four games. It's going to happen. Book it now. And guess what? I was wrong. It wasn't a final fact. It was a final fiction. And I'll tell you why. This league is now starting to take notice of the guys who are dropping like flies. They're leaving the league. They're leaving because they have head injuries, because they have a lot of pain and a lot of trauma around this. And marijuana has been one of those things to relieve it. Bell's been a repeat offender with that drug. And now they're starting to realize, hey, listen, man missed a drug test. It was under some unfortunate circumstances. But we know if we got him, it would have been on this, and it wouldn't have been on PEDs. It's a little bit different in this scenario. I think it's a fact. It shows that, you know, the league is starting to come around and that it's not that serious of an issue anymore. It's definitely something to keep our eye on, though, also for future suspensions down the line, especially involving marijuana. We got to see how that infects people as well.
I am going to agree with you once again 100% and say fact. It does make you wonder, though, what really went on behind the scenes? Why did Le'Veon Bell miss that test? It makes you wonder a couple of things. And somebody brought up on the message board on Behind the Steel Curtain, maybe Le'Veon Bell, maybe this is actually an indication of guilt from the NFL standpoint, saying that maybe Le'Veon Bell all along was right, and this is not advancing him in the program is a way to say, okay, maybe we overreacted a little bit on this with throwing out the four games. That's what it seems like to me. That's why we brought this up as a fact. So I'm going to agree as fact and leave it on that. I mean, it's plain and simple. Le'Veon Bell, there's a lot of criticism on him. Some of it was warranted. Maybe some of it wasn't. I still don't really know fully what happened, because we're finding out in a lot of things right now that any speculation from the media, especially when we're talking about Ladarius Green headaches, anything that comes up, we're believing what one person throws out, no matter who it is, as complete fact. And that's something that is becoming a problem, because we're finding out stuff much later in every single avenue that what we believe to be as fact right off the bat does not necessarily mean that it is. So I agree with you once again. You say fact, I say fact. Glad that suspension is down to three. That's another fact. Let's move on, Zach, to number three. Number three, no Steeler 2016 draft pick has played better than Tyler Matakiewicz in preseason action. Fact or fiction?
I'm going with fact on this one, Brian. Listen, the guy is the seventh-round pick of this squad. He has the most to lose. A guy like Artie Burns and Sean Davis, it's pretty unanimous that they're going to be on the team. I would say pretty unanimous. I mean, anyone who thinks that they're not is probably on something. But, you know, guys like DeMarcus Ayers and Tyler Matakiewicz and Travis Feeney, you know, these people who are drafted in the later rounds, they got to work their butts off, man. And that's exactly what Matakiewicz is doing. Mike Tomlin's got a nickname for him. I'm forgetting what it is right now. Red Thunder, I believe it is. I mean, you know, the guy has been, you know, really impressing a lot of the Steelers' defensive coordinators. You know, he looked a little bit undersized, you know, at the 6 foot, 230 range. But he has just been a really consistent player here for them in these first two games. Obviously, we got to see the next two. But I'd love to see a roster spot open up. Unfortunately, you know, I don't think it might happen simply because the linebacker position is so competitive there in Pittsburgh. I mean, we are talking about, you know, a team that's boasting Bud Dupree. You know, we're talking about a team that's boosting Lawrence Timmons. There's just constant talent across the board. It doesn't matter where you look. You know, Shazier, or, you know, even Jarvis Jones, who deserves that second look, as I was saying. Guys like Arthur Motes, James Harrison, who's going to find himself in a little suspension here, which I'm sure we'll get to later. You know, this is grind time now for these guys. They have to prove themselves. And if Matakevich keeps playing the way he does, I'm going to say it's pretty close. He could end up earning himself a roster spot.
I'm going to agree and say fact once again. I mean, this is a record. We have agreed on fact 3 in a row. I cannot believe that. But here's the deal with Tyler Matakevich. The guy plays with heart. He plays with soul. He is all over the place. And he just knows how to find a ball carrier. And I love the way this guy plays. I think he is a potential special player. Reminds me of a guy that is actually coaching on that team right now, Jerry Olsaski. I remember when I first saw his number 55 play way back in 1989 on that special wild card season that the Pittsburgh Steelers had in 89. And this was a guy that he was a University of Pittsburgh kid. He really, no one expected him to be even on the team. And the guy was just everywhere. And that's what I see with Tyler Matakevich. I love this guy. I hope he continues to play well. I don't think a guy like this is going to last on a practice squad because somebody else, especially a team like Philly, would probably jump at the chance to grab a guy like this. In fact, since he played college in their backyard right at Temple. So I have a feeling that this guy is going to make the squad. I think he's had a fantastic preseason so far. We have not seen anything out of Artie Byrne. Sean Davis, I think I agree with you, tons of potential. Hargrave have not seen enough out of. And as far as I'm concerned, guys like Feeney have been AWOL. Ayers has, we've seen him for a cup of coffee in the preseason, but even the fourth round pick out of LSU, that guy, haven't seen enough out of anybody so far with this rookie class, and the guy who has played the best out of them all so far in two preseason games is Tyler Maddox. So definitely, I will agree with you and say fact.
Really quick, Brian, I just want to say how remarkable it is that we've agreed on 3 straight. That's crazy.
Yeah, this in the, 7, 8 weeks of the show, I don't think that's happened yet. So I'm not sure if
that streak
is going to continue. And I have a feeling that streak will be snapped in the second half of the 6-pack. And we will find out right after these messages from Frank Walker Law.
Smart or stupid? Those strobing lights in your rear view? That flashlight shining in your face?
License, registration, and insurance, please.
The little adventure you're about to have with this guy?
I'll need you to step out of the vehicle, please.
Okay, so you've done something stupid. Fix it with a smart move.
For DUI or criminal defense, call Frank Walker of FrankWalkerLaw.com. He knows his way around a courtroom. 412-532-6805. 412-532-6805 or FrankWalkerLaw.com.
And the show's also
visit his website, FrankWalkerLaw.com. Oh, I was just saying we should visit his website at FrankWalkerLaw.com. We're also sponsored by Centerfield Smoke, the best and most unique Pittsburgh sports apparel for Steeler fans and Pittsburgh fans everywhere. Visit them, www.centerfieldsmoke.com.
Actually, I jumped on you there. Sorry about that. Something I do want to mention, and I usually mention this at the beginning of the show, you can join in on the Fact or Fiction at 347-850-8581. I already see somebody waiting in the wings to talk to us, and we are going to do that when we finish the entire 6-pack. So we will get to you, caller, as soon as we get through the next 3, so please be patient. We will definitely want to hear what you have to say, and feel free to call in. Once again, that number is 347-850-8581, and we'll get to that in right about 15 minutes. But Zach, let's continue with the 6-pack of fact or fiction as we go to number 4. And that is, the Steelers should stay far away from newly released and former Steeler Keenan Lewis. Is that a fact or is that fiction?
Keenan Lewis, you know, this is a guy who has triggered a lot of emotions out of Steelers fans pretty much everywhere, because in the 3 short years
or 4 short years that he spent with Pittsburgh, you know, it was kind of all over the place. You know, a lot of people weren't really sure of how to, you know, feel about the guy who was a third-round pick out of Oregon State. And I will tell you this. I will say fact. And I will say fiction. Excuse me. And I will say it simply because I think that this is a guy who can come in. He's got 5 years under his belt. You know, he's been a real leader now for a number of teams. He is a free agent. He's unsigned. Why not bring him in to coach your young guys, especially a guy like Sean Davis, who's going to be taking his position without a doubt this year? I'm not even saying bring him in for reps. I'm saying bring him in for the knowledge. Imagine what a guy like Keenan Lewis can bring to the table. This is a guy who, you know, has had a number of turnovers forced. I mean, you know, and a great number of tackles as well, 213 tackles in 6 years in the league. So, you know, he's not the most elite safety out there slash cornerback, but he has done his job extremely well. I don't see why he can't come in, grab Sean Davis, grab Artie Burns, and really, you know, educate them to the best of his ability on where he screwed up in the league. Listen, you've got guys like Mike Mitchell, you know, already veterans on this angle, you know, William Gay. But why not have one more guy to step in there and offer some different perspectives? Keenan Lewis can do that. He can come in. Plus, if one of those guys goes down, he can play the offense. He can play the defense in a pinch. He knows it very well. I would feel very confident with him back there.
And there goes the streak. I am going to completely disagree with you, and I'm going to say fiction. The reason I'm going to say fiction on this one, Zach, is Keenan Lewis, if this was 3 years ago, wanted to keep the guy. You know, Cortez Allen was the guy that they essentially kept over Keenan Lewis, and we know how that ended up. To me, Keenan Lewis is fool's gold because he was cut by the New Orleans Saints for one reason, because he was hurt. And he is not completely healthy, so if you keep a guy like Keenan Lewis, you're going to have him on the PUP list. Enough said about that. I like the guy. I don't think you can bring a guy in, coach. I think if you have him, you need to have him on the field. So once again, a definitive fiction.
Well, here's the thing, Brian. I have been very big on the belief that, especially in this circumstance, why take that opportunity away from someone? You know, I mean, there have been people, like, let's take an example like Joey Porter for a second. You know, Joey Porter, when he was brought in as the Steelers coach, everybody was like, it's just because, you know, he's a former Steeler, whatever. This guy was great. He was knowledgeable in the position. He was an elite linebacker when he played. And I'm not saying that Keenan Lewis was an elite corner safety by any means. What I'm saying is that he was a knowledgeable guy. He was smart. He very rarely made careless plays. Which was something that Cortez Allen did, you know, on the other end of him. So I think that there's a lot more room for improvement with him. I think, you know, why not? It definitely doesn't. It's a low-risk, high-reward scenario if it really ends up paying off and his knowledge can be passed on. I mean, why would you want to deny that to your younger guys?
You do. You don't want to deny your younger guys that. But at this point, you need a mentor and a player. And if you're going to bring a guy in for his experience, you need him to lead on the field as well as off. And that's something that I do not see being able to happen with a guy like Keenan Lewis. And here's the reason. If he was 100% healthy, a team that is always starving for defensive backs, New Orleans Saints, would have never let him go. And he comes with a high price tag. So the Pittsburgh Steelers cannot afford to bring a guy in like that, knowing that, speculating that he's not going to be able to give them what they need on the field and only off. We've talked about this a number of times in the last 6 weeks or so. Antonio Cromartie is the guy on that list. And if the Steelers wanted to go out and look at a cornerback, that's probably the guy they should have gone after, and they haven't. So it remains to be seen whether they're even wanting to be looking at a corner right now. We as fans say, hey, they need a corner. They need a corner. But maybe the team is not looking at one. But if they were to, I think they should go for a guy like Cromartie over a guy like Keenan Lewis. I know we've had him in the fold. I know we wish that he never got away in the first place. But here's the fact. If you bring him back now, you bring him back because he needs to come back for Keenan Lewis Not that the Steelers need a guy like that that probably can't perform in the manner that they need at this point. So that's why I'm going to disagree with you, and I'm going to say fact, as you say fiction.
Yeah, but Brian, listen. I mean, you give some good reasons for that, but I'll tell you this: they're not going after Cromartie. I think if you're the Steelers, you feel a little bit more comfortable with someone who's been in that backfield before. That's my only counter.
Okay, and I will definitely give you that. I just think he has physical limitations at this point that will hinder him being on the field and giving the team what he needs. So that's something we are definitely going to agree to disagree on as we continue with the six-pack. Number five, it's nothing but a witch hunt. Roger Goodell is out to get James Harrison. Fact or fiction?
Fiction, man. Listen, I you know, the Goodell gets a lot of heat, a lot, especially when he's going after a guy like James Harrison or Tom Brady or someone that he's, you know, berated multiple times. Well, guess what? Like, this is just another allegation from another, you know, separate source. This is not the NFL directly going in and saying, yeah, these are PEDs and we are going to suspend you for this. Goodell has had plenty of fines to issue towards Harrison, but those fines would have been issued to guys like Vontaze Perfect and, you know, other linebackers across the league, DeMarcus Ware, you name them. Those guys are going to be getting those fines for the kind of hits that he was laying down on some of those players. So I think fiction. I think it's a huge conspiracy that he's out to get certain people. I just don't think that that's relevant. If you look at who's getting the fines, excluding Brady, I mean, it's the guys who are putting other people in danger, you know, and Harrison does that. As much as we love him, he can put some wide receivers in danger. I'm not going to shrug that off. There's no instance where you can tell me that his actions, you know, hitting-wise are acceptable all the time, because they're not. He is a tough player, but that crosses the line sometimes. He gets a little overly physical. That's okay. That's a kind of okay trait to have in a football player. He doesn't take it too far. He doesn't have a real attitude problem or, you know, take cheap shots or whatever. He just lays on some hard hits that happen to be in the wrong places sometimes. That's how it goes. It's a game of football, Brian. Goodell's not after him. Listen, if he was after him, Harrison would have been out of the league.
You know what? I'm actually going to agree with you and say fiction, but I'm going to say a weak fiction because I'm thinking this. If Peyton Manning did not retire, is he calling these guys in and threatening them with suspensions? No, because Peyton Manning is Roger Goodell's boy. He is the league's poster boy, and they would not do that to him. Now, when a guy like Roger Goodell looks at the list and says, oh, hey, James Harrison's in the mix here? Is this the same guy that says he wouldn't walk across the street to piss on me if I was on fire in an Article 5? Yeah, I'm sure that he does not mind putting the thumbs to a guy like James Harrison. Is he out to get him? No. But does he relish the fact that he has a chance to put the screws to him? Yeah, I think a little bit. So I'm going to agree with you and say fiction, but I don't think Roger Goodell minds making a guy like James Harrison squirm if he can. But on the other hand, James Harrison is the kind of guy that is not going to squirm easy. And in fact, he's going to tell you like it is. I've had an opportunity to meet James Harrison twice and actually have a long conversation with him about 9 years ago. And he's the kind of guy that, to me, he said exactly what was on his mind about players in the locker room, about the team at the time. He does not mix words. And that's what I like about James Harrison. Now, will James Harrison be suspended this year? This is extending the conversation a whole lot more. I actually don't think he will allow himself to be suspended. The reason being, he has already agreed to meet them, even though it's 4 days past the deadline. But he said in his comments that he will not let his fellow players, his teammates, suffer because of the situation. So he will talk to them. He just wants to put it in his own terms. And I think he is going to be adamant about that. But if it comes down to losing playing time to make his team suffer, he is not going to do that. So that's what I have to say about that. Like I said, I'm agreeing with you. But I think deep down, Roger Goodell does not mind seeing James Harrison on this list because he probably does not like him at all.
Listen, Harrison's had over $150,000 in fines since 2010. You know, and that was an article that came out on our site also. This is a guy who, his play nature, as I was saying before, it's not reflective of a guy like Peyton Manning or Tom Brady. They play the quarterback position. They're not hitting people at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying? I think that it's a completely sort of different scenario. I go pretty much all the way on the extreme on the other end of it, you know, and say that it's a really, really hard fiction for me just because I don't think it's justified. I don't think it's justified to say that the commissioner is going after one player in general. Even if you have a dislike for them, I mean, these fines are assessed on hits. They're not assessed on, you know, stuff such as, you know, penalties. You know, that they're not assessed on any sort of a false start penalty or, you know, an unnecessary roughness penalty. It is all coming because they're shots to the head, you know, which I guess is an unnecessary roughness penalty. But, you know, they're all coming under due clause, which I think it makes it completely different from Manning and Brady.
Well, you know, what if I wrote an article about an alleged something? And, you know, even James Harrison said, if you allege that I'm a pedophile, if somebody writes an article saying I'm a pedophile, does that mean the league's going to call me in and possibly suspend me if I don't want to talk about it just because somebody's writing an article? We mentioned it earlier on in the show, the Ladarius Green headache. We're finding out that that's being disqualified at this point by the players. No, that hasn't even been the case. So we have, in the age of the internet, anybody could allege anything. And this Al Jazeera report was already deemed completely erroneous at this point. So why are they adamant that these guys talk about it? It's not just James Harrison that doesn't want to talk about it. It's Clay Matthews that does not want to talk about it and thinks that it's utter crap. And so I think they're going a little crazy on this issue when it had nothing to do with a hit on the field. You brought up hits?
Well,
it has nothing to do. This has something to do, everything to do with a report that has already been somewhat disqualified. So I've got a problem with
but
that.
But Brian, I'm talking about the longevity of this guy's career. I mean, this is an instance where when something like a PED allegation comes up, you got to investigate. If someone says they have sufficient information to warrant someone a suspension from the league because of performance-enhancing drugs, you have to go after them. Harrison has racked up these fines and this rapport with the league because of his play style, not because of PEDs. These are two separate issues. And now he feels like the league is out to get him. Listen, it's not just him who's facing these suspensions. It's other guys as well. You know, it is not just solely James Harrison. In that case, you would say, yeah, it is a bit of witch hunt.
And that's something we did bring up. But, you know, if you had a golden boy, like I said, like a Peyton Manning involved in this, completely different situation. We'll never know because he retired.
They might get a little bit of different treatment, but who knows?
Well, we will definitely – we're agreeing – that fact is fiction. But if we go deeper into it, we are disagreeing. So we will agree to disagree on that one. In fact, we could probably fill an entire show with James Harrison because I have a lot to say about James Harrison. We just can't get to it tonight. I'm very pro-James Harrison. And I can go back to those hits in the 2010 Cleveland Browns game and actually defend them. But that's for another time. Maybe we should have the fellows at BPSC that do film room. Maybe go back and take those on again. But we don't have time for that tonight. But I am, like I said, I'm very pro James Harrison for his style of play. I feel, without getting too far into it, I feel we're finding these players for instincts that they're taught all the way back at the age of 7 to the time they're in the league many a year, and in 2010 we just changed the game on that. And I know player safety is a big deal, but I think that's a tougher debate, and that could fill, like I said, that could fill two shows. So let's agree to agree at the beginning of that and agree to disagree all at one time. Let's go to number six now. After two preseason contests, stock down for Steeler playoff hopes.
This is straight up fiction. Why would anyone think that? Why? Why is the preseason a reflection? We have no starters out there. None. None in any of the important positions. Why does it matter? I don't know. I'll never understand preseason obsession. I don't even know if I can add anything else to that. Like, the Steelers haven't even taken the field, every single one of those final guys on that 40-man, you know, on that 52-man roster. They haven't suited up yet. We haven't played week one. We're 22 days away, like you said. That's a fortnight in 8 days. Does anyone still use the phrase fortnight? I'm not really sure, but I'll tell you this.
No, I was about to ask you that myself.
Yeah, I said that, and I was like, God, like, what am I, like, Charles Dickens? Like, this is, like, what, 18th century?
You have two bits?
I'll tell you this. Exactly. But listen, Brian, like, this can't be a cause for panic. If you press the panic button now, what's going to happen when you drop two straight games in the regular season? The whole thing's going to come crumbling down. No, there's no change in the Steelers' playoffs hopes. There's definitely a change in the backup quarterback situation. There's no change in the Steelers' playoff hopes.
Zach, I'm going to disagree with you, and I'm going to say fact. And I know crazy. Here's why I'm going to do it. One, because I like to argue with you. We've been doing this, like I said, 8 weeks. We enjoy arguing with each other, and it's a nice, healthy argument each and every time. But here's the thing. The luster's off the season right now, just a tiny bit. So the stock down a little bit. When I say stock, as the optimism is not as high as it was just 4 weeks ago with everything that has happened so far in the preseason. There's a lot more concern and a lot more worry than there was, like I said, in June or early July. Now, at this point, with the Pittsburgh Steelers, I still think they're going to make the playoffs, but the stock has dropped a little bit. It's not as high as it once was. That could come back. And I realize we haven't seen Ben Roethlisberger. I realize we haven't seen Antonio Brown. But with the new guys coming in to help bolster the defense, to help bolster the entire team, the Artie Burns, the Sean Davises, yes, they do have promise, but what we have seen so far has not been enough, especially when we're talking about your seventh-round pick being the most exciting guy so far of all of the draft picks, as we did just about 10, 15 minutes ago. So I think the stock has dropped just a little bit. Has it dropped completely that they're not going to make the playoffs? No, but it's dropped. And here's the thing. Zach, you're a part of Steeler Nation. Steeler Nation has not been the most optimistic nation of all time. And you know, and if anyone could say that they're an optimistic Steeler fan at this point right now, as they were back in June, I think they're fibbing just to save face at this point. I still think the Steelers are going to make the playoffs. I think it's going to be a tougher road than we once thought. So that's why I'm going to disagree with you, and that's why I am going to go ahead and say fact.
Well, you're saying that the Steelers are going to make the playoffs, Brian, which I think is indicator number one. I think that is, you know, that's not optimism. I think that's confidence. I think we know that this team is probably the best team in the AFC North. And I can, you know, I think with the additions, they only got better. So why be worried about it? Why be worried about it in two preseason games and you're bringing the young guys in to learn? They're learning. This is their time to grow.
I'm not as confident that that's a true statement right now at this point. I don't know if they are better than Baltimore and better than Cincinnati at this point right now in the preseason. Now, I have a feeling that's going to change, but I cannot definitively say that at this point.
Oh, we're better than Baltimore. I think if anyone at home, if they're listening right now, if they think that Joe Flacco and crew are going to go out and have a more successful season, first off, you probably shouldn't be listening to this show. Second off, I just think you're wrong. I think that we have seen time and time again for what kind of an honest quarterback Flacco is. I mean, he's really not anything that special. And then we got the rest of the team that seems to be in shambles. The defense hasn't been as good, you know, has never been as good as they were with Haloti Ngata and Ray Lewis and Crowd. We are a better team than the Ravens right now, Brian. I don't know how you can say that. I can see Cincinnati because they've got some elite threats over there with A.J. Green, and their defense has always been, you know, on point. But, oh, my goodness, the Ravens were better than them. Come on, that's our rival, man.
I agree. Nobody hates Baltimore more than I do, especially in the region where I live. But you got to say that that is going to be a better team than they were in 2015, just with the fact that Terrell Suggs is coming back. Justin Forsett is coming back. Steve Smith is coming back. That team was in shambles because of injuries last year. And to say that they are not going to be very competitive for the NFL North crown, they have something to prove right now. They're going to be tough. This is the best division in football right now. So I cannot honestly say to you right now that my favorite team for 35 plus almost 40 years at this point in my life is head and shoulders performance-wise above their other two main rivals in that division at this point. And that's me being honest with myself. I want to believe that they're better. I think they're classier. I definitely think they're classier. Are they a better team than those other two at this point of what we're seeing so far? I am not completely convinced of that yet. I think by week one, when we have all the pieces in place, probably. But if we go into the fact that stock up or stock down, that stock is not as strong as it once was just 8 weeks ago. And that is a fact in my mind.
Hey, you know, it'll be interesting to see as the season plays out, especially when we get those two games against Baltimore and Cincinnati. Ladies and gentlemen, we want to invite you all to call in here 347-850-8581 to join the program. 347-850-8581. Brian, I'm sorry I cut you off there, man.
Oh, no problem. And I will say that I will agree with you, and I definitely respect your opinion, and I know you respect mine. But we will see what happens in the last three games of the season when Pittsburgh plays all three division rivals three games in a row, starting with Cincinnati, then with Baltimore, then with Cleveland to end the 2016 season. That is going to define the division right there. It's going to go down to the wire with those three games, and it's going to be exciting.
Yeah, it's going to make it exciting, and thank God we finished with Cleveland. Holy cow.
Yeah, somebody on the schedule maker has a black and gold coffee mug that we don't know about. Because the last few years, it seems to be always, 9 times out of 10, it's Pittsburgh and Cleveland at the very end of the year.
Yeah, it's the football gods looking out for the best team. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, Zach, we don't have anybody on the phone lines. So if you want to go into your final fact of the night, you can feel free.
Sure. All righty. So my final fact of the night, you know, there's been a lot of talk right now about the preseason. And I'm going to reassure you guys. I'm going to say that it's really not a worry. First off, let me preface my final fact by saying that it's really not important. You honestly could click the show off right now and everything would be fine. But I'll tell you why you should keep listening, and that's because the Steelers are going to win their final two preseason games. And that is my final fact. I'm going forward just because this team knows what kind of adjustments it needs to make. Mike Tomlin has been on the sidelines and eagerly watching these games and seeing what he can take down. And I'll tell you right now, they're certainly not happy about it. It's never a good sign when you get shut out in a preseason game, but it's also a preseason game. They're going to make the necessary changes, and we're going to start to see some of those regular starters come back into the mix, and they're going to start playing. And I'm really intrigued about that. The Steelers are taking home the last two. Let's forget about the Birds. Let's forget about the Lions. It is time now for us to take on the final two games before that season opener. And they're going to win the two of them. I'm convinced. That's my final fact of the night, Brian.
Well, that is at the New Orleans Saints and at the Carolina Panthers. And that Carolina game is – that's always – that's been, would say, the last 8 to 10 years, that is always going to be the finale from now on. It seems that that's a home and home every other year. And it seems like that's usually a very good indicator of what's going to happen in the season. So I'm really excited about week 3 of the preseason, because that seems to be when you find out exactly what the team looks like. Now, look, I can excuse losing 17 to nothing when you think about the fact that your defense really only gave up 10 points with a pick 6 in there, and you had a quarterback that threw 4 interceptions. Luckily, that's not the man that's going to be leading you throughout the entire 16-game season. I hope we don't see him at all this year, and we see number 7 the entire year. So I know I have sounded pessimistic about the team. I'm part of Steeler Nation. I demand excellence, and I know we all do. And that's not what the preseason is all about. The preseason is building on the team and building for September 12th of this year. So I agree with you. I think they're going to win the last two, and I like your final fact, and I love your optimism. And I think you're going to be on this one.
Well, you know, I really hope I'm right, and I'm sure the rest of Steeler Nation hopes so as well. But at the end of the day here, you got to keep a little optimism, especially because we're not seeing the superstars yet. When this team gets its superstars, offense is going to be that much more lethal.
All right, we are coming up on 11 p.m. on the East Coast. Thank you for everybody for listening this evening. It has been, once again, a raucous fact or fiction. It started out pretty calm with us agreeing the entire time, and even when we did agree in the second half, we disagreed. So we had a very good time debating it. Once again, every week, if you want to call in and debate with us, please feel free. We would love to hear from you. We broke another streak this week. We have not heard from Bryce in Brooklyn, and I'm thinking maybe the fact that SummerSlam's in Brooklyn tonight, maybe that's where Bryce is. So we haven't heard from him. I'm sure we'll hear from him next week. But, Bryce, we do miss you, and we hope to hear from you next week. And if your name is not Bryce, we hope to hear from you too. So call in once again. We will be talking about a lot next week, preseason game against the New Orleans Saints, and see how this team is exactly shaping up. So once again, for Zach Parnes, I'm Brian Davis, and thank you for cracking open the Steelers six-pack of fact or fiction. Zach, good night.
Good night, Brian. Thanks again, everybody, for listening in. We're hoping you're joining us next week.